Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. I'm excited to be here with you today and every week. We have come to the 12th Sunday after Pentecost in our journey through ordinary times, and it is good to be with you on this Labor Day weekend. If you are one of those professions that labors on Labor Day, then we are so thankful for you. For all the firefighters and nurses and doctors and police officers and grocery store workers and anyone who keeps this world going while the rest of us take the day off, we appreciate you and thank you. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from the book of Hebrews. It is from the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and then ending with verses 15 and 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here now ends the first reading. Let us come together now and remember those words of Hebrews, as Paul instructs us to be hospitable to others, as we listen to the tenets of our faith and think about how God has been hospitable to us. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today so humbled and thankful and grateful that we have a seat at your table always, that you are always welcoming to us at your table so we can go out and be welcoming to others with our own. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Luke. We are in the 14th chapter. We start with verse 1. And then we go to verses 7 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you will start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down at the lowest place so that when the host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, this sermon was very humbling to receive. I hope that it is very humbling and a blessing for all of those who hear it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Every family has those milestones that are part of growing up. Getting a string of pearls when you turn 16, getting the keys to the farm truck when you can finally drive it. In my family, it was all about where you sat at family dinners. You knew you had made it in this world when you got to move from the sun porch at Gogi's house to the dining room. You have to be 21 to sit in the dining room, Marsh used to say. It was a hard and fast rule. No kids allowed at the dining room table. Stuck on the sun porch, we used to hear the adults cackling around the table and wonder what in the world they found so funny. So imagine my surprise when at 12 years old, I saw my name on a place card at the dining room table. I was shocked. And when I asked Morris about it, he said that he allowed it because 12 backward was 21. I didn't care. I'd finally earned my seat at the big table. I had finally made it. I was very careful with every utensil and with every bite I took. I was thrilled to finally be away from the rest of the kids and sitting down with the grown-ups. I felt special. I felt like I was important. It was a big day. When I read today's scripture, I couldn't help but think about that day. What it felt like to finally be included with the adults. That's the same feeling that Jesus wants the people around us to feel. He wants us to feel loved and accepted and like they have a seat at the table. He wants everyone to go from feeling excluded to feeling included. Now, my grandparents may not have been thinking about where I sat as a biblical lesson. I'm sure they were more worried about the dining room rug staying clean underneath my chair. They may have just had an odd number of guests and an extra seat. It's pretty humbling to think that I was just a seat filler, but I probably was. But the lesson of sitting in the dining room was years long. Although I made it to the dining room that day, I didn't sit there often. The other lesson they taught me, the same lesson that Jesus was trying to give his disciples, was to give up your seat, humble yourself, and give your seat at the table to others. My grandparents loved to throw parties for their friends, and while I cleaned the house for days before each party and helped cook the food for the party, I never actually got to attend the party, even when the party was an engagement party from one of my high school friends. You see, I spent every one of my grandparents' parties in the coat closet. They greeted people at the door, and then it was my job to hang their coats as they came in. It was a big walk-in closet in the front hall, so I had plenty of room, but I never got to leave it. As soon as the last guests were arriving, the first guests were leaving. So I never got any of the party food or any of the punch. I never got to see the house buzzing with friends. I got to see everyone twice, when they came and when they left. That was my job. I never questioned it. I did what Gogi wanted. The caterers always felt bad for me and kept a plate of food for me in the kitchen for after the party was over. The message was clear. You are here to serve other people. You are here to help. That is how you show people that we care about them. We give up our time at the party and our seat at the table to help them. My job just happened to be in the closet. It was the same for dinner parties and bridge club luncheons. As quickly as I was able to sit in the dining room, I was expected to give up my seat and serve. I never got to sit and enjoy Gogi's friends because it was my job to make them feel welcome. Serving others, showing love and care for the people that we value, was the ultimate lesson. But Jesus takes that to a whole other level, one that was never reached at my grandparents' home, but one that should not be missed. The reality of what Jesus was saying was this: we should all be giving up our seats, not just for our friends or the people that we love or the people that look and live like we do. We should be doing it for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. The only reason I should have been in the coat closet was to give them away to those who needed them. The people that should have been at her dining room table were the hungry. And while it's good to have family and friends over, while it is good to come sit in the pews and worship, the real work happens when you invite people in who are hungry. Invite people in who need clothes. Invite people in who are not just blind, but who we are blind to. Please don't get me wrong. I adored my grandparents. The lessons I learned around that dining room table were invaluable. They shaped and molded me into who I am. They showed me kindness and love when I needed it most, and they expected me to do the same for others. Those are very powerful lessons. But friends, as I look back now, I see that as wonderful as they were, there were a lot of people missing from that table. There were a lot of opportunities for them to open their home in different ways than they were comfortable with. And that's the lesson I take away from it now. The foundation that it laid, that emulated these teachings to a point, is vital and was a beautiful gift. But it is also a gift to look back and see the ways they missed the mark. I hope that people will do the same with my life, that they will learn not just from what I do, but also from what I failed to do. I'm not perfect. I miss things and I look past people and situations, not out of malice, but out of my own blindness. We can learn just as much from our shortcomings as we do from our triumphs. You know, Jesus calls us to be humble and hospitable. And I know we're trying our very best to do that here at St. Paul Chapel. We're looking to build on the good lessons we have learned and also see where we have failed before in other churches and even ways we have already fallen short here. We're doing our best to live out this lesson that Jesus is trying to teach those present at the dinner party. It does not matter how important you think you are. It does not matter where you sit at the table. In fact, friends, we should always find ways to give up our seat altogether and serve others. Is it good to come together as a family of believers and sit and tell jokes and enjoy a meal together? Of course it is. But if that is all we do, then we miss the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. We try our best to do that here. I think we do a pretty good job. But we cannot be complacent and breeze right past that last part of the text. There are times when having a seat at the table is important, just like there are times when flipping a table is important. But there's balance to that. The thing that Jesus emphasizes here in these verses is that sometimes the table should not be about you at all. Feed my sheep, Jesus says. At every meal we ate around my grandparents' dining room table, my grandfather was at one end and my grandmother at the other. Gogi sat on the end near the kitchen, and I usually sat next to her. It wasn't a place of honor, but a reminder that I was there to help. Anytime she got to get more tea or cheese muffins, I was expected to get up with her. I was expected to clear the dishes from the table, serve from the left, take from the right. It got to be so ingrained in me that she quit having to ask me to join her in the kitchen. We got into a rhythm of serving together. I think that's what Jesus wants for us as his faithful believers. He wants service and mission to be so ingrained in who we are that we don't have to be asked or reminded. We just get up from the table when we see someone in need and we do what we can to help them. He wants us to be in a rhythm of service together. He wants everyone to be welcome at our tables and in our lives and in our hearts and in our pews. He wants the poor and the crippled and the blind to feel just as much a part of our time together as our friends and family. It is a way to show that we are all part of a larger family of believers and that everyone has a seat at our table. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us be filled by sitting at the table. But then be humbled as we get up and share our seat with others. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.